When you walk out of here, your perspective, with a new perspective, you can tackle the challenges of life. But if all you see is the challenges, then you can't make any success, any progress, any headway, when all you're focused on is the challenges. You have to have a different view. You have to have a different view. So here in His presence, that's what church is for. Close your eyes for a moment. We're going to take about 60 seconds, and we're going to let the Lord expand our view, change our horizon, change our perspective, change what we're focused on, change the direction of our gaze. Sometimes just a turning of a slight degree can make all the difference, and you'll be forever changed. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You for changing the direction of our gaze tonight. As we look Your way, as we look heavenward, heavenward, for our next orders, our next commands from You, our commanding general, hallelujah, the Lord of hosts, we turn our gaze to You tonight. Thank You, Jesus. Here in this moment, change our perspective. Give us a new perspective. Give us a new vision of You, Jesus, right now. The living Lord. Hallelujah. 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 He said, I'll walk among you. You know, this is the privilege of the new covenant. He said, I'll be your God, you'll be my people. I'll walk among you. God is with you in your backyard just as much as He is here at church. He's with you in your car just as much as He is here in the sanctuary. Wherever you are, the Lord is. And the privilege of the new covenant is that He walks among us. That's what He wanted. That's why He tore the veil, not so we could come in, so He could get out to man. He was so enthusiastic about coming near to us again. So know that God is with you in every moment. He's with you in the heat of the day. He's with you in the dark nights when you have questions. He's with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you can be seated with a new perspective. Praise God.
They're all giggling at me because I just sat on a water bottle. I was like, uh-oh. As Jake is going to be sharing tonight, and I just wanted to admonish him, honestly, what I have to... Jake, you can get your stuff and come on. He's going to be sharing the word tonight. God is doing so much in our midst. And I was thinking back... we were back in the Nolan Ryan Center, and... One night, Scott had asked me to share the word, and I was so excited. And I had prepared and prepared. And that night, two people came. It was Lee and Bunny. And, you know, I was like, should we just call the service? He said, no. You know, preach your heart out. I preached my heart out to Lee and Bunny about healing. And, you know, but it was so good for me just to share my heart, you know. And it's so good when God speaks to us and... you know, for Jake tonight, Jake, come on. I want us to extend our hand to Jake. I think God's going to do something. Yeah, let's clap for him. But let's extend our hands. We're going to pray for Jake, not because Jake needs it, but, you know, we all need more impartation of the Holy Spirit. But I believe God's going to do something in him tonight. And Jake, God is taking you up to a different level. And all of that that's inside of you, He's going to anoint you to get it out. And it's going to come out with great anointing. And what does the anointing do? It breaks the yokes. It changes our hearts. So I'm excited to hear the word of the Lord that He's going to bring tonight. So let's just pray for him. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the gifting that's in Jake, Lord. And I just pray tonight, Father, that utterance, divine utterance, Father, that that holy thing that happens, Father, when words are spoken, Father, that the anointing rests upon him, Father, that touches the hearers, Lord, that lives are changed, Father, that questions are answered, that solutions come, that yokes break off and we go free tonight, Father. I just thank you, Father, for the new season for Jake, for the stepping up and stepping out that he will experience tonight. Father, I thank you for the flow of the Holy Ghost, Father, where before he would draw from his mind, Lord, I thank you that he will begin in a new way, in a fresh way. Father, in such a place of reliance, he will draw straight from the Spirit of God that's inside of him, Father. And I thank you for that, Father. Thank you for this man of God. Bless him tonight as he shares the word in Jesus' name. Amen.
I definitely feel the weight of this right now. Last week, a lot of what Scott was talking about, we just talked about focus. What are you thinking on? What are you listening to? What are you saying? And tonight I want to focus on one of those three, what you're saying, your words. It's thick. And y'all gave me way too much time. It looks like the Zodiac Killer wrote a ransom note on this thing. I went downstairs to just read over my notes that was finalized, and I came back up as Joanna was watching Kaysen like 7 minutes later, and I told her it'd probably be a good half hour. You're done already? I said, I just keep writing more notes, and I'm not going to be able to say all of it. I could talk on this for a month. But if you'll give me a minute, I'll try to lay some groundwork for why words are so important and how we maybe don't give them enough attention as we should. I'm going to have to kind of jump all over the place to get there. But God's original intent for our lives and the way we live was to rule our world by words. That's how we set it up for Adam in the garden. That's how he wants it for us. And I know people will whatever blab it and grab it and give it a bad name, but those blab it and grab it people are doing pretty good in life, so there must be something there. The secular world gets it. They have their books and speakers and all this and positive thinking and manifestation with your words and surrounding yourself with the right people and saying the right things. They understand it, and it works. Now, they remove God. It's all biblical. They just remove God out of a kingdom culture, kingdom principle, kingdom keys, all of that. So, Adam in the garden. We have Eden, a reflection of heaven. Adam, a reflection of God. And he wants Adam to run the garden. A lot of this Scott has already said. If y'all have paid attention to him in the last 2 or 3 years, there shouldn't be much new information, but it's heavy on my heart. We were meant to rule how Adam did in the garden. Now God, if he wanted full control, he could have named everything, but he brought everything to Adam. And he said, whatever you call it, that's what it is. He gave him full freedom, and whatever he called it, whatever he said. Let's go to our first verse in Psalm 8, verse 3. So when Adam spoke in the garden before sin, he had heaven's backing behind him. He had the authority of God backing everything that he said. Sorry, I didn't give you any scriptures, Ben. Y'all are going to have to use your own Bibles. No cheating on the screen. I say that. I read off the screen every time last week. We'll go NIV or New King James. Don't matter. I know y'all think Jesus wrote the King James Version, but I like to read out of the NIV. All right, Psalm 8, verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? You've done all these amazing things. Why do you care about man? The son of man, that you care for him, you made him a little lower than, what does that version say, angels? I think the translators were afraid of what the actual word was there. If you don't have it in your Bible, that's Elohim, not angels. It said, you made man just a little lower than yourself, Elohim, and crowned them with glory and honor. This is before the fall. So Adam had glory backing him. That glory is what gave Adam the power and authority to say something, and heaven would support it and back it and put power into his words. That's what he lost with sin, was the glory. So now, whenever he speaks, nothing listens to him. Heaven's not backing him up anymore. Romans 3:23, if you know the Roman road, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. We don't have that glory anymore. Or at least we didn't. Thank you, Father Adam. I don't even think I got to the best part. Verse 6, you made him ruler over the works of your hands. There you go. He made him rulers over the works of your hands. So God put us in charge, is what that verse is saying. God owns it, but he gave dominion to us. That's part of the blessing he gave Adam. Be fruitful, multiply, subdue it, have dominion over it. And that's part of the blessing right there. We're in charge. There's a lot of things I think we might pray about that we need to be speaking to and talking to. And we're asking God to do something that he gave us authority to handle ourselves. Where was I? I start trailing off. All right. So we're in charge. God's to give, ours to manage. But he gave responsibility and dominion to us. That is why God did not just fix sin immediately. He could have done that from heaven. But he put us in charge. That's why Jesus had to come in flesh. He wasn't going to just, I know we like the word sovereign, but he wasn't just going to sovereignly fix everything. He had to follow his own system that he set in place. And people on earth, sons of men, daughters of men, have dominion over earth. That's why Jesus had to come. And we beheld the glory. We got to see again. We get to read about it. What glory looked like and what it looked like to have heaven backing your words again. Hadn't happened since Adam. So now he speaks to a storm and it calms down. He speaks to roots and it withers up and dies. He speaks to a dead man in a tomb and he comes walking out. Sorry. He's given us an example of his original intent and how he wanted us to live all along that Adam screwed up. So we needed a second Adam. And to further illustrate this, I think Scott's talked about this too, but even whenever he approached demons, they would never call him Son of Man. They refer to him a lot. He was Son of Man. He was also Son of God. Demons only referred to him, oh, Son of God, why have you come to torment us? Why would they say that? He's saying, you're not a human. You're from heaven. You don't have authority here. It's the same principle why demons referred to him as Son of God. So power of your words. David probably understood this better than most in the Old Testament. I went back and read wherever that was, chapter 17 of Samuel, I think. David's just talking the whole time. He's just talking to everybody. What do I get? What do I get? What are y'all so worried about? His brother gets mad and tries to shut him up. And David, even, at least in the NIV version, David said, can I even speak? He's already trying to shut down his words. I thought he just approached Saul. People just overheard David talking, and that got him to Saul. So his words put him before the king. And that's still true today. Put you before great men and great opportunities. And even then, Saul, you're just a boy trying to talk him out of it. But David didn't run at his enemy with his mouth closed. He said, you're coming at me with a sword and a spear, but I come at you in the name of the Lord. Don't ever go at your enemy with your mouth closed. You better be talking if you're going against something. Everyone has their own Goliath. You better not have your mouth shut. And on top of that, I'm trying not to rabbit hole here. He took with him five smooth stones. He didn't want no resistance in that. Everything had to be going the exact same direction, had to fly through the air perfectly and straight and accurate. Well, he had weapons back then. Our mouth is our weapon now. I think a lot of times our words are not smooth stones. They're not all in accordance and move in the same direction. An aerodynamic, spiritually dynamic, if that's a word. All right. Now you get to go to my current favorite verse in the entire Bible. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. If you've had the same favorite Bible verse since 1973, I think you should have a new one. I think it should change about every 2 or 3 years. You got me, Ben? Or are you going to make me read my Bible? There it is. All right, Colossians 2, 6. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Getting a lot of feedback. Just as you've received him, continue to walk in him. I'm trying. This is uncomfortable. All right, Colossians 2, 6. Just as you've received him, how did you receive Christ? Believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. That is how you receive Christ. Second part of that says, in that same manner, continue to live your life. Not the second verse, just the second part of it. Sorry. Continue to live your life in that same way. Your healing, your finances, your marriage, your kids, your everything. How do you approach it? Believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. But we want to talk about speaking, but the first part of that is believing in your heart. Flip over to the left to Mark chapter 9, verse 20. Someone quiet that baby. All right, Mark chapter 9, verse 20. So we have this guy with his son. One of the other gospels says he has a lunatic spirit, keeps throwing himself in the fire. He brings him to the disciples. They can't fix it, so they bring him to Jesus finally. And he handles it. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground, rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." Verse 23. "If you can," Jesus said, "everything is possible to him who believes." Don't just skim over this in the gospel. Jesus put no qualifiers on this. If you believe, anything is possible. Anything. If you believe. That's the key right there. No qualifiers. No nothing else. Nothing added to it. Anything like that. Believe, all things. Believe, you're debt-free. Believe, you're healed. Believed, your kids get saved. Believe, whatever you're going through. Don't just skip over this familiar verse, as Scott says. But believing can be difficult because the enemy likes to attack our senses and pollute our belief. And he's always trying, we talked about it last week, he's always trying to create an external circumstance or situation that goes contrary to what's internal, what's inside. He's always trying to fight that and get you to drop your belief. He's going to attack your senses. This is Peter walking on the water. Jesus gave him the word. He stepped out. He's excited. He's doing it. He's walking on the word. If Jesus didn't say, come, he was sinking like a rock to the bottom of the sea. I know he walked on water, but it was because God gave him a word that empowered him to do that. But then he saw the waves and he saw the storm. It's something external that contradicted what he had internally and what he was already doing. Sunk him. All right, keep rolling. I'm going to make you go to every book in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. You're doing great, Ben. And you even switched to NIV? All right, 2 Corinthians 4, 18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Jesus said, my words are spirit and truth. Words are not seen. I know we can see them on a book, but we're talking about using your mouth, speaking from your spirit, being led by the Spirit. Those are the things that are unseen. It says to fix our eyes not on what is seen. That doesn't make much sense. Look at what you can't look at. But that Greek word means focus. It's saying we focus on the things that we can't necessarily see, and we ignore the things that we actually can see. And people will say, oh, Christianity, that's for weak-minded. Or you try to live like that. It's hard. And I've been studying this for a week, and it's like, this is what I've been focused on. And I'm like, good grief. I mean, if we dropped a recorder in all of your pockets for 24 hours and recorded every word that came out of your mouth, some of y'all might not show up again. I wouldn't. No, y'all are, this is a Wednesday night crowd. Y'all are the super, y'all glow in the dark. I'm talking about myself. Yeah. No, but some of the chaos in our life might make sense if we could play back that recorder. You just think about it. The things that are seen, the things that we want to see in life and move into, and the things that God's put in your heart, whether it's from a word, a prophecy spoken over you, those things that are still unseen, but you feel it in your spirit, and maybe you haven't seen it yet, they're going to come out of the things that are unseen. That's going to be your words. In the beginning was the Word. Every beginning is going to start just like that, with a word. You will not move to your next level. You're not just going to magically fall into that word spoken over you. It's going to happen with your words. And that's the beauty of having proclamations. If you don't have proclamations, I challenge you to pick one goal. We have about 6 or 7 that we say every night, and a Bible verse that backs up something that we're going for. Get in a habit of just pick one thing if you don't have anything. And you don't have to have 30 things and spend half an hour before bed. I'm talking 5 minutes. Do it. Give us an example. No, Joanna always starts them. I just follow her. I need her in here. What's our first one? Oh, we do say we're debt-free. Man, you put me on the spot. I don't even... She'll, all right. Proverbs 10:22. There you go. We are debt-free. All right, that's our first one. The blessings of the Lord bring wealth without painful toil for it. At least in NIV. So that's, we say, we walk in divine health. By his stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Things like that. That's two of them. Y'all don't get to hear the rest. So those are the seeds that we plant 365 days a year. Well, sometimes we're real tired and we fall asleep before, but it works. I'm going to get into that in a minute. Don't worry. All right, let me get back to the Bible, Terry, before you throw me off. Hebrews 11:1. Probably don't even have to flip there. Hebrews. Can we do King James on this one? Sometimes King James just says it better. See how good Ben. Look at that. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So someone comes in, a guest speaker, they're usually fired up and they start whipping out words all across this place. And you just feel that faith stirring up inside of you. And you start believing for something new or something that you stopped believing for. And someone just nails it right on the head and you might start to believe again. Get a little bit of fire in your bones and you're ready to start believing again. But that faith in you is coming from your spirit, not from your head. As a man believes in his heart, so is he. Not how he believes in his head. So it's not every random thought that comes into your head that's going to define you. It's what you latch onto as truth and you meditate on it. It's going to be what you embrace. That word substance there means raw materials in the Greek. We have tons of trucks that come to our shop and drop off thousands of pounds of flat sheets of metal. And we have to turn it into something else. That's the raw material that we get. It's not anything. It's just flat pieces of metal. That's it. That's the substance of things hoped for. It doesn't just show up. You have to do something with it to really sink it and anchor it into your heart and meditate on it. Like you were praying for, what's his name, Jimmy? So you're sick, you get a healing word, some faith rises up in you. We say we believe for it, we pray for it, pray about it, thank God for the healing. But you have to start seeing yourself healed. You have to close your eyes and see Jimmy pulling those tubes out. See him standing up. These things that are unseen, we're going to start speaking to those and thinking on those things. It has to be more vivid inside of you than your actual eyes and what you're seeing and the reports that you're hearing. That's how we move into this next level of, if you want to call it manifesting. But it has to be so real and vivid inside of you. It's good to believe and it's good to pray. I'm 1,000% behind both of those, but it doesn't stop there. We have to really dive into that internally, into the things unseen, and see it. So that word that you get is that semi-truck pulling up and dropping off those raw materials to you. But the faith that we have without works is dead. There needs to be an action behind it. I'll share a little brief testimony that I think I've only talked to about one person in here about it. When we first started coming here, I was making less than Luke. Yep. In my 30s. Married, mortgage that she wrote the check for. Feeling, pride about as low as it can be. Not a good place to be, especially as a man, as a leader, wanting to be in church, wanting to be better than my dad was and the family that I came from. Then I got a word back at the college one Sunday. Know who gave it to me, BB? That man back there in the corner. He probably doesn't even know. I was embarrassed to come forward, but she was out of town, so I wasn't as embarrassed. And Ben gave me a real simple word and prayed with me. Started tithing. 90 days later, partners hired me. Weren't even looking for me. They were looking for Joanna to hire her. And right before the phone call ended, Colton said, "What's Jake doing?" Went to lunch the very next week, hired me at the table. Huge blessing. Made us feel comfortable enough to even bring a child into this world. Like, beyond grateful. So now I actually have a good job. Insurance and a truck and a salary and PTO and all the good stuff. 8 months into that, we just have a feeling that we're supposed to be business owners. That seems kind of dumb when we both have good jobs and a good salary. Hey, let's add it to the proclamation list. Well, what's our business? I don't know. We have the exact same initials, JRF. Faith without works is dead. We have our proclamations. We know, but we don't know. Kind of like the whole Christian life. You know, but you don't know. Who was it that went and anointed David? Samuel. Yeah. He didn't know it was David. He knew he was going to anoint somebody, but he didn't know. He just went there and was like, "This one? No. This one? No." And that's our whole Christian life. You know, but you don't know. You know, you know, you don't. So what do we do? Spent $300, opened up an LLC, JRF Ventures. Real broad, because we didn't know what we were doing. Really? It was like, maybe it'll be this, maybe it'll be that. Well, we can't say JRF tire sales, because what if we end up with an ice cream truck or something? I don't know. Like, so we just made it super broad. JRF Ventures. Business cards, pins, LLC. What are we doing? I don't know. But we're just going to start moving that direction. Not even knowing what we were going to do. Not even 30 days after that, through a series of events, we started HTX Sheet Metal. I did not go to school for sheet metal. I didn't know anything about sheet metal. I flew to Missouri for a week because I found a course that I could go learn stuff in person. And here we are. First year, profitable. Second year is going even better. But it wasn't enough just to believe and have that hope. There had to be some works and some action behind it. And I thank you, Ben. And I'm glad that your son's on my payroll now. And that ball got rolling because of your word. Yeah, now I have someone to close downspouts, which I hate, and he loves for some reason. So I'm not just trying to pump you up and fill you up with something, be like, "Well, I've never experienced it." And this is very real to me and our entire family. And she takes it extremely serious. Honestly, probably more serious than I do. I said I couldn't even remember the first one until she got it going. Faith without works is dead. Some kind of action. And it's hard to come up with some sometimes. We wanted to pay her car off. And she took a screenshot. "Oh, you owe, whatever, $33,000 more on your car." And I put it in my iPad and I put a bunch of zeros on there. And we made a vision board, pinned it up there. And it's just the amount of debt we had left in that car with a bunch of zeros on it, and made it this big and pinned it up on a vision board. See it every day. And that car is paid off. We have zero car payments. I don't have a car payment. She didn't have a car payment. That's how we attack it, with our words, with our faith, with our belief, and we do not back off of it. There's things that stay on that board and under proclamations for 3 weeks, and there's things that we've been saying for 3 years. And we don't, it hasn't come to pass, let's just rip it off and find a new one. Seed time and harvest. The time's going to vary. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat the fruit. Can't have fruit without a seed. The seeds that we're planting today, that's the fruit we're going to enjoy tomorrow. Plant the right seeds with your mouth. What's verse 3 say, Ben? Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Your next season in life is not going to come by your hands. I'm a firm believer in hard work. I'm a hard worker myself. But you're going to set the framework for that and step into it by your mouth. Really be conscious of that. That's my challenge to you this week. What are you saying? Is it in alignment with what you want to accomplish? It's so easy just to let one little thing slip. Your words are like going to the gym. You have a good workout in the morning. You prayed in tongues. You did proclamations, whatever. Well, if you go eat pizza and McDonald's and donuts the rest of the day, and then a month later, like, I've been going to the gym 5 days a week, and it's worse now than it was before. We do that with our words all the time. Yeah, we did this, this, and this, but what about the other 95% of the day where you said a bunch of stupid things, a bunch of things contrary to what you want? Same concept. God wants that original intent that he gave Adam for us to walk in, where our words actually have weight to them and power to them, and we go from glory to glory. There's levels. I could do this for 3 weeks. There's levels to this. So that's my challenge to everyone here, to myself. Focus on your words. And start seeing another level of glory in your life to the things you're actually believing and proclaiming and saying. Start becoming more real to you. Even if it's just on the inside, make it real vivid. Like I talked about, example with Jimmy. It just so happened that she talked about that. But see it, whatever it is. It's got to be real to you on the inside. That's all I got.
Thanks, Jake. Excellent work. Praise God. He preached, some say you got to practice what you preach. Jake got up tonight and preached what he practices. That's actually more important in a sense, that you preach what you practice. So, praise the Lord. Excellent, excellent, Jake. Thank you. Very encouraging. So now you got your homework assignment. Words. Vision boards. If you don't know how to create a vision board, see my daughter. She'll tell you all about it. More than you ever want to know, maybe, about vision boards. But it's so powerful. A couple years ago, Terry and I put a little baby picture up I put it up on my vision board. And he almost looked like Caleb, too. Very, very similar. December 1st, 2022, here comes our baby. Praise the Lord. God did it. Amen. And there's other things that are up there. It's time for me to renew my vision board. Actually, I got to be honest with you. I've got some things up there that, like, the baby's still up there. I'm just so happy we got our baby that haven't ever taken him down. Good things. Amen. Let's all stand together. Praise the Lord. Were you blessed tonight?
Yeah.
Well, you don't need to come up Sunday because he preached my sermon for Sunday. So. No, I'm teasing. Come. I'll reinforce it. Praise the Lord. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our life. We thank you for the power and the glory that you've restored through Jesus to mankind to rule his world through words. And we thank you for it, Jesus. Thank you for coming, for setting the example, and for restoring us to our place of glory and honor in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Could we just thank him for a moment tonight before we close out? Just tell him thanks for what he's done. Any dignity that would come to our life has come because Jesus came. Amen. Jesus suffered indignity. He suffered humiliation. The cross wasn't just a place of physical suffering. It was mental anguish because of the humiliation associated when a man hung naked with no clothes on before the general public and bleeding out, his very life draining out from him. It was a place of humiliation. Jesus suffered that. Jesus, at 33 years old, sometimes I think of some of the men in our church, Peyton and different ones, and I imagine Jesus at that age, that tender age, that's the Savior and what he did for us. Amen? Such a young Savior, and yet he gave it all so you and I could rise to a place of dignity, and he's raising us up. Amen? Sons. Ladies, don't take offense at sons. Sons carries with it in the biblical term, a position of inheritance rights. So anytime I call you all sons, you're inheritors. You're those who have rights. It's like someone giving the keys to their kid, the keys to the family car. That's what it means to be a son in the kingdom. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Jesus. You have raised us to that place. And now put us in a position of authority once more. Hallelujah. Things man never had before, we have been restored to it through your glory in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. If you need any additional prayer, stick around. Terry and I will be here, and others. Be blessed as you go. We'll see you Sunday. We've got some great baby dedications going to happen Sunday. It's going to be a great day in the Lord. Good things happening around here in Jesus. Amen.